Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. Seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Thank you for joining us. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother Richard from rainy Arkansas.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard up there in Wyoming, and Brother Ralph in Arkansas. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And we have sure been blessed here with good weather, been in the 50s at night, 84 during the day, sunshine. I don't mean to boast or brag, but it's sure been pretty good. It really has. And I'll turn it over to you guys. I want to say thank you, Pastor Cox, to you and your ministry. Luke 10:19, I think has always been there. But it has I guess in timing, at the right time, certain scriptures pop out. And, the last several months, it really has popped out more and more. Luke 10:19, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. And I've been able to use that three times in ministering with people this week, just this week. And
wow.
And I would have to say, you know, I've been out here working for the pastor in the ministry for 17 years, and I don't know that I've ever used that, before in previous to the last year and a half, 2 years, and it was three times this week. So I just want to say thank you. It's not the only scripture in there, but it certainly applies. and it gives us it's certainly given me a different frame of mind in our Christian walk. And so,
yes, and it's,
thanks.
It's a great scripture to yes. use, Brother Richard, and we learned long ago that evil spirits do not want to hear a Christian say it. It hurts them. So if we know it hurts them, we sure want to say it a lot.
Amen.
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 And by the way, beautiful signal on shortwave tonight coming in. It's, the signals have been strong for a long time. But great signal.
We're good. Glad to hear it. Well, I know you have callers, and I'll sure let you know when they're on.
Thank you, sir. I sure appreciate it. And, Pastor, I do have to say thanks because we are coming up on 3 years ago that I went through. Actually, I believe it was 3 years ago this coming weekend that I went through my first deliverance session. And there's definitely been a change in my life. And just as Richard said, you know, for 2,000 years, that scripture's been there. And it seems like I never really understood it. And our beloved Pastor Peters has been gone on to the Lord now 7 years now, and a lot of his last sermons, a lot of his last sermons, he was using that scripture. I guess we just weren't ready to receive it, but I hear him in past sermons using it quite often. So I guess it's just like everything in its time. Even the apostles at times, Jesus said, said to him that I have many things to teach you, but you're not ready to receive them. So I guess at that point in my life, I just wasn't ready to receive it. But I have received it, I understand it, I exercise it, and I put it to work on a daily basis. And that's
Amen.
This show is, this is one of these things the show is about, is to help equip the saints to overcome.
And we've all come from somewhere, Ralph.
Yes.
I've certainly come from someplace, you know, from someplace that's not so good to better in the spiritual world. And I think many of us can say that same thing. We're all growing and learning and developing every year that goes by. So, praise God, somebody shared. That's what I keep saying. I could have missed all this so easy had someone not told it.
Amen. And if you have any questions about deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com, and there is a wealth of information at that website. Or you can order the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that through Scriptures for America by dialing, calling the office at 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. You know, let Richard know you'd like to have that book and it gets sent out to you. Now, Pastor, before we get started, I just want to read a couple of Scriptures of men who understood Luke 10:19, and they were operating in it. And I want everybody to notice as you read these things, they weren't asking the Lord to do it. They were doing it. Acts 5:12. At the signs of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all on one accord. You have Acts 6:8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And then you go to Acts 8:6. And they heard and saw the signs which he, talking about Philip, was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and the lame were healed. These were men, excuse me, who were acting in their authority, understood what Jesus meant to them when he said, "Greater things than these you will do also." And I would have to say in the last 3 years, I look at the book of Acts in a totally different light. I see things that just seem to jump out at me that never been there before, which also comes with that more of the Holy Spirit, because I received that weekend 3 years ago. I had hands laid on me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I see that in a total different light, and it's just been a wonderful experience, and that's what this show is about, the testimony of that, to encourage others that are out there. Pastor, how did this last Monday go?
We had heavy action, Ralph. We had 16 cases. People came from Texas, Kansas, and even North Carolina. And we had a minister for each, even some extra ministers. Oh, it was just another wonderful Monday night of of kicking the evil spirits out. So, and with the thing, the big smiles, the people leave. Yeah, it was another great evening. I'm on such a high after those Monday nights. I just kind of float home. I have about 20 miles to go to the house from there, but I just float home down a huge high. You know that the Lord will use little us like this, just normal Christians, to do the supernatural works of Jesus. It's just so amazing. And you know, I've been at it 40 years now, but it's still as amazing as it was the first day.
Yeah.
And as you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's something so supernatural about that. Because it is really a baptism for service. And that's what I wound up doing, moving, of course, ultimately forming Deliverance Ministries, Inc., and just as you have moved into the ministry. Think of the difference between you and before you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues.
There's a big difference in me. I've always been one to witness, but... it seems that I witnessed more when in the past I condemned, if that makes sense. And mm-hmm. more compassion seems to be that I have more compassion on people instead of just shaking my head and just walking away from them and, you know, in disgust. And sometimes that still falls upon me, and I believe that's the discernment that comes there, that when you recognize when people are needing help and those that are just the wicked ones. But... It's been a great ride, and you know, it won't be just a few months away, and we've been doing this show for 3 years, and that's hundreds of testimonies of people who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and that's just
look how many testimonies that's been now.
Yeah.
That's what, over a couple of hundred.
Yes. And the book of Acts is full of testimonies. The book of Acts is full of testimonies.
Yes.
It's just, it's a wonderful book. It's just a delight to read, because this is not just old stories. This is truth. And these were just simple men. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were physicians. They weren't anything special. In fact, most of the time as you read it, people are amazed at these men. Where do these uneducated men confound us? How could they confound us?
Yes. And I guess that's why I fit in so well, Ralph. I'm a fisherman, too.
Yeah.
I just happen to like to bass fish and trout fish. So
yeah.
Maybe that's why I fit into this so well.
Maybe.
Oh,
but,
praise God.
Know, that's what we just want to encourage people out there, that the same authority, the same power, and that was bestowed upon the apostles, is the same that Christians have today. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he didn't just send that commission for them to be done when they died. That commission was for us. It's a dominion mandate, and part of that dominion mandate is going out and preaching the gospels, laying hands upon people, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. And we're not doing that as a whole. And we're not doing it as a whole. And the way I look at it is we're failing our king. And I think our king is just waiting for us to get it and start doing that. And how quick things will change when the testing wonders. Because you always see that. You'll see a testing. You'll see that word, signs, and it'll say a testing miracles in the cross reference, that and that's what these testimonies are, testing, and that causes people to believe and turn. And Jesus came to turn a world order upside down, and we can do that again.
Yes, and certainly the 16 cases Monday night, all those ministers were not praying to the Father in Jesus' name to set these people free and heal them. They were speaking directly in the name of Jesus, commanding the demons to go, commanding healing, and speaking to the situations with the backs and all that, commanding it. And it's hard to learn that, because none of us really grew up, you know, around that. But that's exactly what Jesus gave us in the Word. And once it soaks in, sure enough, we have this power of attorney to do it in his name. Awesome.
Amen. We do. We do. And again, that's deliveranceusa.com. If you have any questions about deliverance, the training videos are on there, testimonies. The majority of the prayers are talked about on this show. The door closing prayer, which is an important prayer, prayer to help people with forgiving with ungodly soul ties, which is so important. Those prayers alone can set somebody free without going any further, just by going through those. But you can do those at deliveranceusa.com, or again, doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox, which is basically about 40 years worth of experience laid down there. You know, he took the time to set that down, and that's for that's a manual. I often call it Casting Out Demons for Dummies, because it is pretty simple. I mean, you'd have to be a real spiritual dummy not to, to read that, not be able to get it.
Amen. Amen.
No. But I do encourage you out there, read the book of Acts again in the light of what we've learned in the last 3 years, and you will see it in a different, a whole different light. And I mean, when this Philip alone, the testimony of Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8, that to me, Pastor, when I read it, probably doesn't even come close to even describing what was going on when you read, and they heard and saw the signs which he was performing, for in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many of them who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. You know, that's a descriptive paragraph, but when you read that and your mind just starts thinking about it, it probably doesn't even come close to describing that situation. And then even if you look on to somewhere in those two chapters there, where Peter commanded the man, I think it was chapter 9, commanded the man who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. And he said, get up and make your bed. Get up and make your bed. And that was walking in authority. He wasn't asking the Lord to do it. He was walking in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, and he commanded, get out of that bed. Get out. Peter said to him, Aeneas, I think that's how you pronounce it, Jesus Christ heals you, get up and make your bed. And it said immediately he got up. Immediately. And when I read that tonight, I was thinking about the people that you've talked about with the testimonies of those that start running around after their back's been healed and their leg's been healed. And I would bet that man just didn't get up and kind of stretch or whatever. I would bet he jumped up and made that bed and probably started running around. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, absolutely. And that's kind of like what we see on Monday nights, you know, after the ministry, as I mentioned, the people are jovial, they're smiling, they're pumped. And I ministered to a man recently that's going to be on the show later, but I've had a couple of these lately. When they came in, they could hardly walk. And after focusing on their backs finally and commanding adjustment and pain to go and speaking to the muscles, tendons, ligaments, and nerves and bones, et cetera, then have them walk. And this, and two of them lately, I said, well, walk out here some in the aisle. And they did, and then they started running with smiles on their faces. And that's speaking directly, not asking the Father in Jesus' name to do it, but using that power again that we had, John 14:12, to do the same works of Jesus in his name. And sure enough, the power of the Holy Spirit goes forth as we speak.
And because it's kind of productive to ask the Lord to do something when he told you to go do it in the first place.
And yes.
Not, certainly doesn't mean that those who do it are not seeing the miracles that are there. But I think that the reason we're not seeing this in everyday Christendom is because the Lord is waiting for us to act. Waiting for us to act. And by goodness, people are starting to act, and that's a great thing. That is
amen. Amen. So. Well, Ralph, we haven't had our caller come in yet. Could you carry it a little bit here and let me call her directly to make sure she hasn't overlooked the time or something? You want to continue a little bit?
You go right ahead. I will. And again, I just as I was reading the past couple days, and I went back and reread them again tonight. It is just absolutely wonderful reading the Book of Acts in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Well, 6, 7, 8, 9 is what I've been studying right there. And even Simon, who was a magician, and apparently he was had some power from his magical arts, even he was amazed at what he was seeing. And it caused him to believe. Now, it seems to be that probably in his life, there wasn't the right repentance because he had to get admonished quite a bit. It seems like he got pretty angry over that admonishment and walked away. But you know, it said it says there in chapter 8, verse 13, even Simon believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and he observed signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed, and I look at it, I just think to myself, what were those miracles? You know, I wish sometimes we had a more of expounding on that. Of course, the Holy Spirit is perfect in what He wrote down in here, and maybe our imagination will just add more to it. But it was just I sit back and I think about that often. What were these miracles? What was taking place? And because it had to be pretty amazing that all these people saw it. And that went hand in hand with preaching the gospel. I know Brother David has mentioned it to me a couple of times, and I think he might have mentioned it in some of his the sermons he gave. But if not, I sometimes forget what he preached and what he's given to me in private messages and emails. But he's mentioned several times that as they preached the gospel, there was these attesting miracles to come with it. And just add the question: what attesting miracles are coming with your preaching? And and that's that's a good self-examination, because if we're not seeing those things, it's not saying that we're not a Christian, we're not effective, but maybe we should examine our lives and look at that as if we're preaching the gospel, but there's nothing to attest it behind with those testimonies that come with it. That are we really being effective in our walk as a Christian? Pastor, did you get a hold of her? Are you back?
Yes, I'm back, and I left a message. I even texted her and called her earlier in the day, reminding her. So I don't know what the deal is, but we've got the next caller.
Yeah, that's all right. And if she happens to call, we'll still try to get her in, or we can book her for another evening. But
yes.
I just was talking again about these chapters here in the Book of Acts, and like I said, when it says he continued on with Philip and he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. I just often think about what were those miracles? What were those attesting signs? Now, how many people were healed? How many demons were cast out? Dead being raised. We obviously read about Tabitha and a little bit on down the road there from, I believe that's in chapter 9, starting with verse 36, where Tabitha was dead. And Peter rose, went in there, and he prayed over her and commanded her to get up. And she got up. So, Pastor Natalie is with us. Natalie, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Oh, hi, Natalie. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Afraid you'd forgotten. Well, I'm glad you're here. Ralph's on here with me. He's up in Arkansas today. And
right.
You're here in the Oklahoma City area. Well, Natalie, if you could, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences that you'd like to share.
Okay. So I was 15 when I was born again, but didn't really understand what that meant, you know. And both of my parents were drug addicts, so I kind of fell into that trap and backslid and didn't really receive the Holy Ghost until I was probably like 6 years ago, to be honest with you. And I started actually seeing stuff in the spiritual world. Like, I started seeing demons, so I started realizing it really is real, you know. And then I actually called out to the Lord one day, and I actually saw him. A lot of people might not believe that, but it is true, you know.
Praise God.
Yeah. So that's what I've been chasing after him ever since. But as far as deliverance goes, that was, let's see, I think I got my first, I started doing self-deliverance, you know, because I learned about that. But actually going, you know, to get deliverance done, I think that last year I did that. And it was cool because I got delivered from anxiety. And the Lord actually showed me, he opened my eyes for a minute, because I kept feeling like I was nervous all the time, and I didn't understand what it was, you know. And he showed me that there was a spirit. I didn't realize it was anxiety then, but it was right in front of me, and it was moving all around like crazy, just, you know. And I was like, wow, this is so crazy. So I went to get deliverance for that, and had a spirit of addiction, got rid of that. Let's see, what else? There was all kinds of stuff, actually, that I got delivered from that day.
You were kind of doing it. You were doing it in the stages, kind of the different deliverances.
Yes, and I'm going to go back for more, because, you know, we open the door to so much stuff and don't even realize it.
Yeah. So, what were some of the areas that you came for ministry for, like when you came to Deliverance Ministries? You remember some of the problem areas?
Pride was one. Addiction was one, for sure. And that's gone. That's what's really cool, because I was addicted to heroin. Like I said, both my parents did heroin, and I fell into that trap, too, at 15. So I got delivered from that.
Praise
God. That was really awesome.
Hallelujah.
That was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
And fear.
That's
fear
awesome.
Was a really big one, too, because I was really, really afraid of people. Just to even be around people, it would scare me. I would start sweating. My face would get red. Just talking to anybody, you know. I guess that goes with anxiety, too. But and that is gone, too. Praise God.
Were you shy then before?
Well, I was shy, but it was more than that to me. It was like, it was just fear of rejection, I guess it was, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that went along with my childhood, because I was rejected as a child, but that's gone too.
Went back to that root.
Yes, exactly.
Did the minister get you back to the root of that then?
Oh, yeah. It came from my childhood.
The rejection.
Yeah.
Very common with so many people.
It really is. Rejection is a big, big deal. Yeah. Especially right now.
And your minister did inner healing on that. You gave that rejection over to Jesus?
Yes. I sure did.
Praise God. And that pulled the rug out from under it. And then your minister would have then cast the spirit out up in the deliverance step. Well, what else do you remember? Any other areas that you remember?
Like I said, pride, but still working on pride, you know. Humility is a big thing, so still working on that one. But let's see. I'm trying to remember this. I can't even really remember. It's been so long, the biggest thing for me was the addiction, because it was such bad.
Well, yeah, that's huge.
Such a bad thing.
That's major,
you know,
in a person's life.
Such a bad one. And witchcraft.
And these spirits.
Yes.
when the spirits came out, Natalie, could you feel them coming out, or how do you know they were departing?
Yes, I did feel them come out because I was yawning all the time and my eyes were watering. And then after they totally, see, I kept yawning, like, even when I went home after the deliverance session, I would still yawn. And finally,
yeah, probably some more coming out.
Yes, mm-hmm. It seems like there was a whole bunch of stuff coming out because it wouldn't stop. So I just, and then after that, after I stopped yawning, I just could tell. I mean, I just felt so much better. Just weight, just lighter, you know, weight lifted off of me, just lighter.
Praise God. Something we hear all the time, of course, at the end of the session. We talk about that often, how people will say, I feel lighter, you know, when we finish the ministry.
And it's so true, though. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So how's your life been since those deliverances?
It's been a lot better. I'll tell you that. I feel closer to the Lord. You don't have the, because those things are such distractions in your life, and they're there to keep you away from the Lord, I believe, you know, from the enemy.
Yes.
That's what he wants.
Right,
he doesn't
absolutely
want you to have intimacy with the Lord, and that's important. It's very important.
Yes. Often those are satanic assignments coming right out of Satan's war room to block a Christian's life and their destiny and their gifts, etc. Yeah. Well,
yeah, I could totally see that. And I mean, I've almost died a couple of times, you know, and that's probably right out of his war room too. I think, you know,
what happened there? What happened there, Natalie? You
said
you almost died a couple of times.
Oh yeah, I drank furniture polish. My sister gave me furniture polish when I was 2, and I was in the hospital for 10 days. And they said if she didn't start breathing on her own, then she's not going to make it. And I started breathing. So I made it. Mm. And then I OD'd. I OD'd, and I almost died on heroin.
Wow.
I survived that.
Well, you've come a long ways, haven't you, Natalie?
I have. I know I'm here for a reason. I know I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter. And I'm not going to give up, you know.
Well, and by where you've come from, you'll be able to minister to many people that have not gotten their freedom yet. You would have a special ability to talk to them and minister to them. Are you thinking about going through our training now at Deliverance Ministry to learn how to do this?
Yeah, I think so, because I think you're right about that. I would love to be able to minister to other people that have gone through what I'm gone through and help them with the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
We had this steady flow of hurting people coming with all these problems. You know, usually it's a minimum of 36 problem areas, which turn out to be spirits, typically. And so once you learn those steps on our checklist on how to do it, you can minister to the world out there, Natalie.
Yes, and that's what I want. I want to do the work, you know, do the Lord's work, you know. It's really sad that people don't realize that it is coming from spirits, too. Just like a lot of mental illness,
yeah,
you know, I believe is definitely demonic.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the secular world calls it mental illness. The spiritual world and certainly deliverance circles, we call it a deliverance need. The evil spirit.
Yes.
We see it all the time. So, you know, people getting set free of schizophrenia and all these labels that the secular world puts on.
Wow.
So,
that is so awesome. Yes. I love that. And yeah, I would love to do that too. Absolutely.
Well, you again would have a special ability, Natalie, to speak to people in the same areas that you came from. And you would be able to minister to them better than me because you have that background and they would understand that you understand as well. So that's a real plus. The Lord will use you big time, Natalie.
Well, thank you. That's what I want.
Well, and winding
I want
up
to,
here,
and I just,
our next caller
like
is,
I said. Huh?
Our next caller is due to call in, but in the remaining moments, what would you tell the listeners, anything else to tell them about deliverance?
I would say don't be afraid to go do it. Just go try it, you know, because it's definitely helped me, and I know it's helped a lot of other people that I know, too, as well, to be free from many, many issues.
Praise God. Well, thank you, Natalie, for calling in. You got her.
Yes,
we
man,
got her
thank
to
you.
Squeeze in here.
Yes,
it
thank you for
a
having me. And
for
I'm, again, I'm sorry. I'm late. I was late.
Things
well,
happen. There's no reason to get upset. Yes.
Good.
I'm glad I got to talk with you guys.
Okay. Well,
and
God
it,
bless
you. It seems to me, Natalie, that. That spirit of death tried to take you out twice. That you're
yes.
right, there is something that's there. And here you are given a new lease on life again, that the Lord's wanting you to do something. So you might want to take a look at that, and whether it's ministering and being a minister there, but evaluate your life there, because you've been given a second chance
yeah.
in life. And it wouldn't be by coincidence that the enemy tried to take you out twice. So there's got to be something
yes.
there. So I pray that the Lord reveals that to you. But we do appreciate
thank
you calling.
Thank you so much. That just gave me chills.
Okay.
That made me feel so good.
Well, God
thank
bless
you, guys.
Natalie. Appreciate
God
you.
God bless you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pastor, our other caller is on the line. Caller, are you there?
All right.
Hello there, Everett. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm blessed,
hello.
Bud, and Ralph is on here with me over in Arkansas, and how you doing, brother?
Okay, I'm talking to you from my computer phone instead of my telephone. It'd be a little easier. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's okay. There's a little bit of echo maybe in it, but it's probably okay. Well, Bud, go ahead and give your history on yourself and your testimony on how you got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues,
well,
and how you learned about deliverance.
I'm glad you have a five-hour program. I can do that. I'll tell
yes.
you this. I was 48 years, 11 months, and 3 days old when I came to the Lord. I've been gone to church twice, about 6 years old, and grew up in a family, alcoholic family, and didn't know anything about God or Jesus or anything about that. I became a millionaire in the 80s in the oil boom, and then I lost everything, went down to a borrowed bicycle and 6 cents in my pocket, and I wasn't at the bottom yet. And one day I woke up after the Oklahoma City bombing and realized that I wasn't happy in who I'd become. But the night of that Oklahoma City bombing, it kind of shook me up in such a way. I had drank myself that day, done cocaine all day, and I couldn't get drunk and I couldn't get high. I didn't know what was bothering me. And I got up some 17 hours after the bombing, and I started writing what I was hearing inside my spirit. And the next month, I stood before a judge and accepted 3 years in prison. To get away from the people I was around, try and see if I could get my act together and get clean. Here I was, a man never drank a cup of coffee or smoked a cigarette, but I managed to get myself hooked on crack cocaine and had drank for 33 years. And
wow.
Anyway, I was writing my life story, found myself lost in the prison system at McAllister, in cell number 39. And on July 1st, 1995, they put a man to death named Roger Dale Stafford. He was known as the Steakhouse Murderer here. He killed 7 kids from Moore, Oklahoma. And that day, my story was about to catch up with my life. And as I was writing, and 2 days later, on July 3rd, 1995, at 6:30 in the morning, I sensed something in my cell. My mind was getting clean from not being on drugs and drinking, and I could tell a change in my life, and I sensed a presence in my cell. in McAlester, Oklahoma, and I was writing, and I said, I don't know what's happening, but I need to set the pen down. And I said, the next line said, I've set the pen down but a moment, but the man who picked it up is not the same man who set it down. And that's the day I give my heart to the Lord, the moment I give my heart to the Lord, and He gave me a direction that day, lots of knowledge that I didn't know, and answers to what I could tell people are equations, but I didn't know what the equation was. They were just answers. And 3 days later, a man stopped and asked to pray with me, and I told him I'd just give my heart to the Lord, and that my daughter had cancer, and that I didn't know how to pray. And he commenced to talk to me and tell me how we could send forth God's word, and I was to believe it in my heart, proclaim it to others, and start thanking God for it, and I would see a result. And 40 days later to the day, my cell door opened, and they said, Beckus, you've got a visitor. I went down, they stripped me and searched me, and I went into the visitor's room after I was let loose and dressed and went back into the visitor's room. And here was one person in there, and I didn't recognize the person. It was real heavy set, no hair. I recognized it to be a woman. She turned around and looked at me right square in the eyes, and I could see who it was, and it was my daughter. And she said, Dad, I've gone into remission, and I'm cancer-free. And I said, that moment, in my spirit, I said, Lord, I will only walk with you. I'll serve you the rest of my life. Just get me out of here. And 19 days later, praise I was God. Out. And I told my parole officer what I just told you. He said, I was going to send you to the zoo to work, but I'm going to send you to church, and you get this form signed. And every time you give your testimony, I'll give you 2 hours off your community service. And I realized the Lord was raising me up to be a public speaker, to teach me for the plan that He had for my life. And I took the writing that woke me on April 19th of 95 that I got up and wrote. I heard the writing about the Oklahoma City bombing. The title was called The Heart of America, and I recited that at a church. And a lady heard that, and she said, I need a copy from my boss. And I asked her who her boss was, and she said, it's Senator James Inhofe. I give her a copy, and the next thing I know, Senator Inhofe is meeting me and my pastor. And on April 19th, 1996, I was on TBN for the first time, and I was reciting the Heart of America and giving my testimony, while at the same time, Senator Inhofe was reading the Heart of America into congressional record, making it a part of American history forever. My life totally started changing then. I was invited to speak at many places, and one of them was a college, American Bible College and Seminary, and I met this man named Everett Cox there. And Everett Cox invited me to be on his radio program. I was on his program and told them what I just told you. And my life really changed. I got to go into different functions that Everett Cox was having. I went to one with Charles Kraft. And I seen lives change. I seen people that was evil turning to people who were full of love and ready to share it with other people. I seen people that were distorted, their faces distorted, and then you could see evil like an animal in these people. And I would see their lives changed by the different people that worked for Deliverance Ministry, and it would change people's lives because they used the Word of God and did what God taught us all, that these things you see me do, you'll do also in even greater works. And I was witnessing greater works coming through Deliverance Ministries. And Everett, I appreciate you so much. The Lord instructed me, an 8th grade English flunky, and can't spell well, didn't remember names well, but He gave me a tremendous memory for facts and dates and times. And Everett Cox and Deliverance Ministries knew that God had spoke to me and told me to start this little newspaper called The Good News Report. And I started that, and Everett and Deliverance Ministry helped support the work that the Lord gave me, because He knew it was God was in it. When God's in a thing, it'll prosper. And I watched Everett retire from his duties and still stick with Deliverance Ministry. I watched it grow and grow, and I've been able to help promote and advertise, not in the form of advertisement, in the form of promotion. Promotion cometh from the Lord, and I believe the Lord told me to help promote Deliverance Ministry. Just recently, I stopped to visit with Everett And Everett could see, I didn't know he was watching me, but for almost a year, I'm getting older. I was 72 the first of this month. And my body started falling apart, different things hurting. I can't hardly walk. I lost the muscles in my legs. I've always been very healthy, never been sick. I've just been healthy my whole life. And here I was, not just a few days ago, and I was walking in the building at Deliverance Ministry, and I didn't know that Everett could see me, but he saw me. And whenever he walked in the building, he asked me what was wrong with me, because he could tell I could just barely walk, and I was in terrible, terrible pain. And I've been around. I'm not a novelist at praying for people now. The Lord has given us favor to be able to pray for many people, mainly people with cancer and people that have heart problems. We are able to pray with those people and see great results, giving God all praise and all glory, not doing anything on ourselves, but doing everything that God instructed us to do, just as Jesus did. He said he did no thing unless God showed him first, and that's the way I believe that the Lord shows me the things to do, and we try our best to be obedient. He spoke to me once and said obedience is not something we do, it's obedience is something we become. He said, if man is truly to know obedience, first he must desire to obtain an involuntary response to the voice of God. And that's what's happened in my life. When God says move, I move. And when he says stop, I stop. And that's my desire, to let God be a part of my every thought, of every action, of every day, to walk spiritually minded in all that I do. That is my desire. But right now, I want to tell you, if there's anyone listening out there that's on the edge of the fence and doesn't really know what Deliverance Ministry is, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to check it out. You need to trust in God and realize that the Spirit of the Lord has led me here tonight to speak to you and give you some hope. The hope that Christ has hid within me, the hope of glory, is speaking to you right now through my voice. And he's telling you, you need to check into this Deliverance Ministry. He can change your life, and he can do it in the blink of an eye. Just this last Monday on the last day.
Yes,
the last day this month, when I went into Deliverance Ministry and Everett saw me walk in, he knew that I needed prayer. And simply done a check on me, and my limbs were correct. My arms was correct. My shoulders was correct. And there was something wrong, though, because of the pain that I had in my body and the way that I walked. But I endure. I just go on. I keep on going on. But I don't like and I don't want to be a cripple and be all where I can't do things, because I'm a busy man. I try and stay busy for the Lord. But Everett saw that, and Everett said a simple few minutes, spend a few minutes, and then really needed me to spend the whole evening there. But we were about our Father's business, and I'm going to tell you, you can be so busy about your Father's business that you can't be about your Father's business. And that happens to me a lot, because I try and stay busy for the Lord. But I took time out to let Everett pray for me for a few moments and to lay hands on me. And the Lord instructed him what to do and the words to say. He spoke, I believe, to my stem cell, didn't you? Wasn't it Everett?
Yeah, the stem cell area. Right in the back of the neck.
Neck, and main thing was to make sure that I was clear of forgiveness. Did I have any unforgiveness in my heart? And I'm not a novelist at that. I know that, and I understand that the hardest person to forgive is oneself. You know, it's very hard for someone to forgive. It took me a long time to realize that I can't change anything in the past there, and I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't be where I'm at today in God if I changed anything in the past. So I just praise God. His word teaches me to praise him in and for all things. In Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18 teaches us to praise God in and for all things. This is the will of God in regards to us. And so I praise God that I've had these pains in my body, that I'm able to tell people today I don't have those pains. Ever pray for me just on the 30th of last month, just a few days ago, and that pain left me that day, that moment. And before I left there, I was walking in a gape around that building inside. You remember, I took off running, around the area there. And I could barely walk into the building. I was hurting so bad and had no strength in my leg. Well, I'm here to tell you that God has delivered me now from that. He strengthened my leg. I'm able to raise my hands and say, look what the Lord has done. And Everett, I thank you so much for the work that you're doing, the lives that you've changed over these 30, 35 years that you've done. And I appreciate you so much. I'm just asking the people, give Jesus a try. Let him touch you through this ministry. And I would love to hear the good news. Yeah, I thank you,
brother.
The good news report that was a newspaper. It's now a magazine in its 21st year. You tell me God don't have a sense of humor to take a man that had 8th grade English, spoke 8th grade English and didn't take 9th, 10th spell well, and makes him the owner and editor of the only independent Christian magazine in Oklahoma City. And it's 21 years old now, giving God all praise and glory. Everett, thank you. Thank you.
Brother. Well, it's our Jesus. We thank him. Now, what about your grandson, Spud? He came from ministry.
Oh, yes. The devil separated me and my grandson for almost his whole life. My son passed away 5 years ago from diabetes that he had gotten, and the devil kept us apart. My grandson was about to be 18 years old, had a month to go, and he called and said, Grandpa, could we just kind of hang out? I managed to leave the home a month before my 18th birthday. And what had happened is he had a devil move in his house with his mom, and they couldn't get along at all. He had to get out of there. My grandson was saved at 16 years old and filled with the Holy Ghost the same night. And incidentally, I gave my heart on July 3rd, 1995, God saved me and gave me direction in my life. And it's almost a year later, while I was asked by my pastor to pray for another man to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, I had been around it so long and believed in it so much, but I had never spoken in tongues. He asked me to pray for another young man, and as I prayed for him, the Holy Spirit filled me with that gift of speaking in tongues, and I took off speaking in tongues. And when it was over, I asked the young man, did he ever receive? And he said, I was too busy listening to you rattle off back there. And we started laughing. It was on a Wednesday night. We were all eating at the church, and the pastor laughed about it. Everyone had a big laugh about it. But we've been filled with that Holy Ghost and that great prayer tongue that the Lord has given us. And it grows, folks. It grows. It may be a few words at first, but it changes and it grows as the Holy Spirit fills you and gives you the words that you speak, the prayer language that's straight to heaven. We just give God praise and glory in all that we do. But my grandson, he was speaking in tongues. We have his pictures hanging in my barber where I get my barber shop, in his barber shop where I get my hair cut, is hanging up. And he says the best picture he has is my grandson as he come out of the water praising God and speaking in tongues. Just before he was 17 years old. But now he's lived with me for the last year, and he graduated high school at Moore West. And I told him, you know, you're a perfect candidate for the service. And he didn't want much to do with that. They talked with him and everything. And then 3 weeks after he graduated, there was a knock at the door, and I went there, and it was two people from the reserve that wanted to talk with him. Long story short, they took him the next day. They gave him a test, just as a preliminary type test. Most people score from 52 to 68. He scored 106, all the way down to 102, depending on different things that he had. So when he took his real test, they signed him up and he's in the reserves. They're going to send him to basic October the 8th. He'll go through basic, come home for a short period on the leave, and go back for AIT, and then he goes straight to college. They're going to pay his way through college, give him $1,100 a month for living expenses, $15,000 for signing up, because he's going to be a nuclear chemical engineer, and they want to train him for a job. He'll go to CCC over here for 2 years, and then he's going to OU after that. He gets $40,000 for schooling to start with. And then he has Indian money.
Hallelujah.
We give
praise God. Hallelujah.
He has plans for his life.
That's awesome, Spud. And when he got his deliverance, he was kind of rebellious, wasn't he, when you first brought him in? And that time at all. And he got a Jesus overhaul. And a good one, obviously.
He did. He'll tell you himself. He came down there, and I didn't trick him into going. I told him it was something I believed he needed to do. And he was very excited, very surprised once it was over. He came home. He was one of the last ones to leave. He stayed there and visited with the lady that was helping him, instructed him, administered to him. And he bragged about that for a long time. Matter of fact, I think he wants to come again before he goes in for basic. He wants to come for a little tune-up.
Amen. Well, Spud, thank you so much, brother, for calling in and your testimony. And you covered a lot of ground there on what God has done in your life and your family.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing.
I do believe you could go on for 5 hours, Spud. Thank you for calling this evening.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you
so much.
Spud,
you know, if you say there's not enough books, you couldn't write enough books of what God's done. I couldn't do it if it just told what he's done in my life. But anyway, I give you praise, and I thank you, men, for the work you're doing. It is wonderful. I'll keep passing the word and have people tune in for you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Pastor, I want to give this quick little testimony out before this ends. 3 years ago, this week, I was about destroyed. My whole life came crashing down. I was on the verge of losing my wife and family. And today I'm living life and life abundantly with the best wife a man can have, and I really do mean that. I do want to thank you to the men that introduced me to deliverance. I want to thank you, Pastor, for your work in deliverance. I want to thank mainly the Holy Spirit and Jesus for not giving up on me and showing me this aspect of Christian ministry. And I just can't believe 3 years ago I don't reject all this, and now here I am hosting a worldwide radio show promoting the speaking of healing, the speaking of tongues, casting out of demons, and other aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'd have never thought in a million years.
Well,
what I'd be doing.
So, Ralph, you got your Jesus overhaul.
I did, and it's just praise the Lord. You know, as we're sitting here thinking, I realized before we came, was on the show. It was 3 years ago, and I had some devastating news in my life, and it about destroyed me. And
I remember.
The Lord taught me to forgive. And I can really understand now when that Matthew 18, when we want to hold against somebody, and yet the Lord's forgiven us of so much. And if you're having trouble with forgiveness out there, look into this ministry, and it can help you. And I do want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. And Richard, if you would, play that wonderful song, Luke 10:19, before we head out.
Luke,
thank you for calling.
John,
bless you, everybody.
See you next
19.
Week.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you. Nothing
will.